But today we're here to honor all women, really, whether they're mothers, their grandmothers, great-grandmothers, those who have not had children, but who have nurtured others, whether it be in school settings, medical settings. And we know a lot of times that even grandmas and great-grandmothers have to fill the role of being mothers again. And of course, any mother loves to remember those days when her children were so incredibly cute. We like to think of those days versus the other days when they weren't. Case in point, when I was a kid, and believe me or not, I was at one point in time, my mother was going to have a party. And I was about 3 or 4 years old. I found some crayons. And I went behind this door, which was in our living room, which was where Mom was going to have her party. And I created the most fantastic picture that you can imagine with crayons. My mom didn't realize it until the day of the party. And of course, she closes the door and everyone's in there. And they got to see my drawings. We did have a conversation afterwards. But it was just one of those days. Well, I found a story that I thought was kind of good. It kind of reminded me of our two grandsons, Kian and Eli. But this story is about them when they get a little older, I'm sure. Because one is a 4-year-old and one is a 6-year-old. And they present their mom with a houseplant. Now, that's endearing. They took their own money that they had gathered up from their allowance, and they bought the plant. But the older of the two had a really sad face. And he said to Mom, "You know, Mom, there's a really beautiful bouquet of flowers that we wanted to get you from the flower shop. It was really pretty, but it was way too expensive. It had a ribbon on it, too, and it said, 'Rest in peace.'" "And we thought it would be just the perfect gift. Since you're always asking for a little more peace and quiet so that you can rest." You know you're a mom when popsicles become the 8th food group. Spit is your number one cleaning agent. You count the sprinkles on your cupcake to make sure they're equal. Our middle daughter does that. You hear your mother's voice coming out of your mouth when you say, "Not in your good clothes." You hide in the bathroom to be alone. You truly hope that ketchup is a vegetable, since it's the only one your child will eat. You stop criticizing the way your mother raised you. Your feet kind of stick to the kitchen floor, but you really don't care. And your idea of a good day is making it through the day without a child leaking bodily fluids on you.
There are many beautiful things that we do learn from mothers. For example,
my mother taught me religion
when she said, "You'd better pray that that comes out of the carpet."
My mother taught me to reason.
Oh, you know this one. "Because I say so, that's why."
My mother taught me logic.
"You know, if you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me."
My mother taught me foresight.
Yeah, make sure you wear clean underwear in case there's an accident.
My mother taught me irony.
Yeah, keep crying. I'll give you something to cry about.
My mother taught me the science of osmosis.
Now, stop talking and eat your supper.
My mother taught me about contortionism.
Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck?
My mother taught me about the weather.
Wow, looks like a tornado went through your room.
My mother taught me about behavior modification.
Hey, stop acting like your father.
Well, my mother taught me about the wisdom of age.
You know, when you get to be my age, you're going to understand.
And finally, my mother taught me justice.
One day you're going to have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Now, as we look at Scripture, we find that there are important passages that do emphasize today and do some serious teaching along with the humor. We have Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. In verse 1, it states, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Second verse states, "Honor your father and your mother," which is the first commandment that carries a promise. It states that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, on Mother's Day, what's beautiful is we're all children. We're all children of God, regardless of our age. Now, the youth here may be thinking, hey, I think this is going to be pointed pretty closely at me since, my mom's probably sitting right next to me. But I want you to recognize, you can relax. You can relax, because for the most part, this applies to all of us. So we're going to focus on verse 2, the honor your father and mother. Since it is Mother's Day, we will focus on mothers, but for the most part, I want you to consider both parents as you look at the scripture. Now, as Paul mentioned before, it could be the physical mother or father you were born with, or it could be someone who stood in their role and in their place. Now, verse 1 says that we are to obey. If we want to be obedient to the scripture, we need to honor. As an adult child, it's not so important that we obey our parents, because as adults, we are generally, obviously, parents ourselves, or even if we're not, we are now our own adults. But while we reside at home, it is very important that we be obedient and that we honor. Do you know what a crucible is? You've heard that. It's a famous play, The Crucible. Well, the definitions found in the dictionary calls it a melting pot. A crucible has a very hot fire underneath it in which chemicals, or oftentimes metals, are placed in it. And they're placed in a crucible in order to burn away waste matter, useless stuff, or impurities. All these three things, you see, keep the metals from being all metal and nothing but metal, so that once all that is burned away, what we have is pure metal. Now, this is used especially with the precious metals, as gold or as silver. So the family is a crucible. It's a crucible we first learn to live within. It's a place that God uses in order to refine us, to purify us, to burn away the waste and the useless stuff. Families are the crucible that God uses us to make us usable tools for his kingdom. It also teaches us how to relate to people outside of the family. So that's one reason why this message applies to everyone. You know, whether your mother is alive today or not, whether your mother was a good mother or whether she was not, we all have lessons that we can learn. We all have impurities which can be burned away through the crucible process.
What does that have to do with Mother's Day and honoring your mother? Moms are at the center. They're the focal point. They're the nexus of this crucible that we call the family. And when Scripture commands us to honor our mothers, that extends far beyond the relationships that we have with our mothers. There's shaping and there's molding of us that can impact every part of our lives, whether it be to the negative or the positive, as we learn, or sometimes we don't learn, to honor our mothers. Learning to honor our mothers as well as our fathers has an impact in how we learn to honor others and how we learn to honor God. If our faith in Christ is real, it will usually prove itself first in the home, in our relationships, and with those who know us best. Martin Luther once said, "Out of the authority of parents, all other authority is derived and developed." Honoring our parents lays foundations for our attitude towards all authority figures. If we learn well this lesson about honoring our parents, we can learn how to relate to our boss, to our teachers, to our church leaders, and to any authority figure that we work with. Now, honor is kind of an old-fashioned word, and the valuing of motherhood seems to be an old-fashioned and out of style in today's world. Now, it's important to recognize that the biblical understanding of how honor is close to, but at least in one significant way, different from how we might understand it in common usage today. When we hear honor today, often we think of some type of award or recognition for something accomplished. We might think of the Academy Awards or the Oscars or the Grammys. We might think of sports legends and hear how someone's been an MVP. We can think of business, social, or educational achievement. We also think of those who are graduates who are coming up here very soon, whether it be high school or college. But while these kinds of honors are important, they're not the kind of honor that's referred to most often in Scripture. But we're to honor our mothers. We're to honor each other. We're to honor God, not primarily because of what they've accomplished, achieved, or excelled at. We're to honor them because of the position that they hold. We're to honor our mothers just because they're our mothers, because of what and who they are.
Sometimes this can be very difficult, can't it? I mean, many of us have probably very positive examples in our lives where the mothers are the stayhold of the family, where we felt loved by our mothers, where the household was held together by this committed, stable individual. Unfortunately, that's not true for all, though, is it? And so there are many who struggle with the mother figure, and many struggle with the father figure, even as we find on Father's Day. You know, we can think of these children, many now adults, whose parents seem to have done their absolute best to make their life miserable. You know, these children, now adults, may have faced physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. Many have been abandoned, and they have to deal with this for the rest of their lives. So how, when they read the scripture, how can you expect me to honor my mother and my father when I have gone through all of this in my life, when I am left to have to sort all of this out? Well, what's amazing in life is we can learn from good examples, but we can also learn from negative examples, can't we? And I'm sure many of you have watched good examples and said, I want to be just like that. That's who I want to be. And on the other hand, you'll look at someone in a negative fashion and you think, whoa, I'm not going there and I'm not doing that. You know, I was raised with six siblings. And I had the fortunate part of being one of the last ones. So I had a lot of examples to watch. And I would watch one sibling make very wise choices, and I'd think, okay, I probably should do that. And then I'd have those siblings who would make very unwise choices, and I'd think, okay, don't even think about going down that road, right? So we all have positive, and we all have negative experiences to learn by. But observing is one thing, experiencing it, the physical, the sexual, the emotional, the physical, all of that is very, very difficult to deal with. So how do we look at this? How do we look at biblical honor? Well, first of all, we have to recognize that, as Paul mentioned, it's largely positional. In the original Hebrew of the Old Testament passage, which Paul quotes in Ephesians 6, its literal meaning means to be heavy. So in a good sense, when you honor someone, you are piling a weight upon them. You are piling a weight upon them. In common everyday usage of our language, it means you lay it upon them. Your revering of them is not worshiping them. It is just appreciating them. Your honoring them lays your expressions, your attitudes, and actions to show that you give weight to that position. You give seriousness to that position, to the position that they hold. In the New Testament, the understanding of honor means to fix a value upon, in essence, to revere. So when we honor someone in the biblical way, we give great weight to their position, and we put a high value, not just to what they've done in a positive sense, but to their role and to their position. In essence, if there is a parent who has not fulfilled his or her parental role, you don't give up on parenthood altogether. You choose to honor. You still put a high value on that role. You just learn and accept within yourself what you will do and what you will not do within that role. So a lot of times, as we look and they say honor, you should honor those in governmental positions. Again, you may not agree with what they do, but to say it should be just gotten rid of, just tear out, etc., you know, do we do that? You know, we have to think carefully, give weight to what the scriptures say. And so when the scriptures say to honor your father and your mother, they are saying that we should honor those roles. It is a position of distinction. And there are examples of this. God, for example, is honored because he is sovereign. He is sovereign God of the universe. Kings, rulers, elders, as well as parents are to be honored for their position, for their role in the family. God clearly instructs us to honor regardless of performance, regardless of behavior, to honor. One reason for this may be that it requires faith to believe that somehow God can use imperfect people, like our parents, to help shape us into the people that He, meaning God, wants us to be. Now let's put a few disclaimers in. Honor does not mean that you excuse their behavior. I do want us to be very clear about that. We are not to excuse sin, okay? You honor the position, you do not excuse sin, and you do not trivialize the pain that it costs. So if you have felt pain from a parent, you are not to trivialize that. But that does not mean that we turn our pain into hatred. We can recognize reality and still honor in some ways. Another lesson we can learn is that honor, or obedience for that matter, does not require us to honor or obey in things that are clearly against Scripture. We are always to honor God first.
But it does challenge us to see the truth of the gospel that our faith rests upon. The truth of the gospel is that even when we did not deserve to be saved, we were paid the highest honor of God becoming like one of us. In the person of Jesus Christ, who suffered and died on the cross without honor, and He did so to forgive us, to love us, and to save us. He did this because we were worthy of His honor, not because of achievement, and certainly not because we earned it. How you honor your mother can be a good indication of how much you have grown or are growing in your faith, how closely you walk with God. When we dishonor our mothers, or when we fail to honor and respect others, we do, in fact, dishonor God. Obedience to parents isn't just because the parents are bigger than the kids, but because obedience to parents is part of a child's devotion to Jesus. Now, our parents' roles in our lives is a changing role. So how we honor our parents depends on what stage of life that we are in. So obedience, when we're young, is to our benefit. And it's the key way we can honor our mothers or fathers. As young adults, that changes at some point after you leave home. Then we honor our parents by appreciating what they have contributed to our lives and being open to their words of influence, which we need whether we recognize it or not. And you know, by the time we reach age 30, it's amazing how much our parents have gained over the years. Because we feel that, my, they have really gained a lot of wisdom. No, it's really that we're starting to acknowledge and understand the wisdom that they were trying to give to us. As older adults, we honor our parents by caring for their needs. There are many of us who are in this position today. That may include everything from caring for their physical needs, because they're growing more frail, to caring for their financial needs. So honoring parents takes different forms for different people and in different circumstances. Since the fifth commandment is very general, we see that the application of this command may not be the same for everybody, depending on where we are in life. For those of you who saw some of our pictures from our vacation this past week, you'll notice that we had a conga line. And that's because as we were going over the mountain, there was snow. And Dad, being 92 years old, isn't always the most deft in foot to get across the snow. So for a while, Cheryl was the lead in the conga line, and then I think it was Dad and then myself and maybe Amy or Brian, then we kind of switched around. But we understood what it was for Dad and what type of help he needed. And Cheryl's always a good one in working with Dad, grabbing him by the arm and making sure that he gets where he goes. But he's fast on foot, so you gotta watch it. Well, you know, we just have to remember how we honor our parents in the different phases of life. So for the young child, we honor the parents through obeying. The older child will honor the parents as he or she continues to be obedient, but also trying to get the wisdom from the parents as much as possible. And the older adult or adult child whose parents are dependent upon him or her will honor his or her parents by providing for them. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it reads, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." In closing, let us listen to Romans 12:10. "Be devoted to one another in agape love. Honor one another above yourselves." Remember to keep this verse in mind as you celebrate Mother's Day today. Amen.